Wow. Just going to take a few minutes this morning, but I want to echo about the clay and about him being alive and the fact that he cares for us and that we can look to him anytime, day or night, whether it's sunshiny, whether it's snowing, and know that he's accessible, that he loves us, and that he's working on us to make us what we ought to be. This morning, I want to just take a few short minutes, Acts 26:26. The Apostle Paul is before King Agrippa, and he says this, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." It is no secret what God can do. Several years ago, evangelist Billy Graham held a meeting in Los Angeles, California. And in this particular meeting, a radio singer by the name of Stuart Hamlin was converted. He turned from a life of sin and began to serve God and helped out in the Billy Graham Crusades. But he wrote a song entitled, "It Is No Secret." In the song, he says this, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." Many centuries ago, the Apostle Paul said almost the same thing, but in different words. Standing before King Agrippa, he made a very passionate appeal. And he preached a mighty sermon, and he told of his own life and how that he had been in sin, but he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he was converted, and now he was going about preaching the gospel, which he once persecuted. And then he made this statement, "The king knows about these things, for they were not done in a corner, or there is no secret about it, what God has done." For where do we go to learn about these things? Where can we find the revelation of what God has done? Certainly not in the world of nature, even though God is revealed in nature. His footprint is on every mountain, on every stream and ocean. His handiwork is seen in the sun, the moon, and the stars. His touch is seen in every tree, every flower, every blade of grass. But the highest revelation of God's great work is found in the book which he has written, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. And the greatest thing or the greatest person revealed in the book is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of the Bible. He walks down every page. He leaps out of every paragraph. I want to just hit a few things of which it is no secret what God has done. His virgin birth was no secret. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth or bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," or God with us. God made man in his own image. He placed him in this world, the beautiful Garden of Eden. But you know the story that man sinned against God. He broke the laws of God, and therefore he was subject to the penalties of God. But God loved him and made plans to send his only begotten son even before the foundations of the world was laid. We were unlovely, unfit to be loved, but he loved us nonetheless. And he sent his son down to this world in order to shed his life blood for our sins. He came not as a full-grown person riding in on a white horse, as the Israelites had hoped, but he came as a babe, and he grew up in a natural way so that he would know all the sorrows, all the cares, and the temptations which come to man. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he was tempted in all points as we're tempted, yet without sin. But he knew how to give us victory. There would not be a temptation overcome us, but he would give us the strength to overcome it. The prophecy of the virgin birth was given some 700 years past, and I think they passed slowly by. But finally, the great hour arrives and the clock of eternity chimes out. It is time. It is the fullness of time when it had been prophesied that the Son of God would be born into this world. God selected a young woman by the name of Mary to be the human instrument that would bring forth God's Son into the world. The angel told her that she had found favor with God, and she stated, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She knew not her husband until after the birth of Christ, but in Bethlehem's manger, the Christ child was born. Now, billions have been born, but never a birth like this birth. Every other birth came through the fusion of two human personalities, but Jesus, through the work of God and using Mary as the human instrument, brought his Son into the world. We believe in the virgin birth this morning. I'm glad to know, I don't fully understand it, but I'm glad to know that God brought forth his Son. He was truly God, but truly man, in order that he could identify with us and become the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of all the world. His wonderful life was no secret. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not this man. Never did he commit any wrong. Never did he say a bad word. Never did he have a bad thought. Never did he have anger towards his brother. This is the difference between Christianity and all other religions. The founder of other religions were guilty of sin, but not this man. His life was not only sinless, but it was serviceable. Many lives come and they live and they die without making any contribution to everyday life. But Jesus, when he came, he contributed to every life that he touched. He caused the blind to see, the crippled to walk. He called the deaf to be able to hear. And he even raised those that were dead back to life again. Jesus gave his service without any money, without any cost, without any price. He was unselfish. Many folks in this world are takers. They never give. They never do anything as far as trying to help take the gospel to those that are unsaved. But Jesus was unselfish. No one spake like this man. He lifted man up to God and he brought God down to man. And if you want to be like Jesus, then you'll have to promote to the servant class. It is no secret about his life this morning. His vicarious death was no secret. You see, his great and perfect life rebuked the men of his time. His service put them to an open shame. His claim that he was the Son of God stirred up the red-hot anger within those that were his enemies, and they plotted his destruction. Oh, they could find him guilty of no wrong, and yet they falsely condemned him and accused him, and they sentenced him to die nonetheless. But at Calvary's cross, when Jesus Christ came as a Savior, in order that he might take our sins, the sins of the whole world, in his body on the tree, and Jesus Christ endured the torments of hell, he paid the full price for the sins of mankind. And I can see as he is there on that cross and he takes the sin to the world in his body on the tree. And God who hates sin, God the Father, turns his back on his Son. And it became dark as the sun refused to shine. The ground began to shake. The angels began to cry as Jesus drank the bitter cup of death. If he had not died, we would still be in our sins today. If he had not suffered on Calvary, we would have to suffer in hell. Aren't you glad that he loved us enough that he was willing to come, even though we were unfit and unlovely in the eyes of God, yet he loved us nonetheless. And then his victorious resurrection was no secret. Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be slain and be raised the third day." But no one believed it. You see, even Christ's closest friends, his disciples, Peter could say, "Thou art the Christ, or the Son of the living God." He could say that, but he did not believe that he could die and live again. But he did. On the third day, he arose victorious over sin and death. Heathen art expresses its hopelessness in the face of death. You see, some portray death as a ship that's broken up and gone to pieces. Some as a harp with broken strings. Some as a flower that's crushed beneath the weight of a heavy foot. Some as the sands of time all run down in the hourglass. But the Christian points to an empty tomb and says, death isn't all. Aren't you glad this morning that because he lives, we can live? That death doesn't end at all. You know, as a preacher, I have preached many a funeral sermon in my life in ministry. But the good thing that I can say to the family is, hey, if they're a Christian, you can see them again. Death doesn't end at all. And even if they're not a Christian, it doesn't end at all, because we're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And so, what a joy to be a Christian. The contrast between Muhammad and Christ. You see, the Muslims, they have their yearly visit to the tomb of their spiritual leader, and his remains are still there. They can go to the earthly tomb where Jesus spent some time, but it's empty. Because he lives, we can live. And every Sunday we come and we celebrate the resurrected, risen Savior. And then his ascension was no secret. After his resurrection, he spent 40 days upon the earth. He was seen of many people. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. Jesus Christ arose from the grave, but he didn't stay here. He was here 40 days doing what he needed to do to prepare the disciples for a worldwide ministry of taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And then he ascended back to the Father. And he's on the right hand of the throne of God interceding for us. Aren't you glad of that? That you've got an advocate, an intercessor, someone that is mindful of what you're going through, and he intercedes on your behalf to the Father, and he will give you the strength that you need in order to serve him and live for him and be victorious and make heaven your home. You see, the victory is down at the end of the road. We've got to cross the finish line, and when we do, what a blessing when we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then finally, his glorious return is no secret. The angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you see ascending up into heaven will also come again in like manner as you've seen him go. So the way he went, that's the way he's coming back. One day, every eye shall see him. What a joy that it is to know that he's coming back. In fact, he told his disciples, when they were troubled about his talking about death, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A mansion in heaven that God has prepared for those that love him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. A woman was asking a preacher if he thought that Christ was coming soon. He replied, I don't know, but I think so. She replied, that's what I was afraid of. The preacher said, I thought you were a Christian. She said, oh, I am, but my husband is unsaved, and I'm afraid that I'll never see him again. You know, one of these days, the Lord is coming back. One of these days, all of this old life will be rolled up like a scroll. The angel of God will put one foot on the dry land, one on the sea, and cry out, time shall be no more. And it'll all be over. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I'm glad that I'm on my way to heaven, because by faith, when I was 14 years of age, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I've not backed up on that. I've not recanted. But I'm more convinced today than ever before that the Christian life is not only the best life, it's the only life to live. And what a reward at the end of the journey. It is no secret what God has done. What he's done for others, he can do for you and for me. That's a message that we need to share with the world that we come in contact with every day. Jesus can meet your needs. I don't care where you are in life, where they are in life, he can meet every need that we have. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that, Lord, we can come and worship you this morning. I pray especially for the folks that braved the cold weather and the snow in order to be here. Thank you for their love and their commitment, and I pray your special blessings upon them, that their worship and our worship together might be found acceptable in your sight. And, Lord, that you'll give safety of travel back home, and that, Lord, we can be able to go home and to worship and serve you, and give us a good week where we can make a difference in the world in which you placed us. But thank you for these that have come today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.